Well, hello. On today's lesson, I want to share with you in a bit a personal encounter that I had when I was taken up into the heavens. A lot of times when I have my personal devotion time, I will actually ascend up into the heavens and different realms and places there. And I meet with the Lord and I meet with different messengers that Jesus sends in the heavenly dimension. I've been into wisdom's chambers a lot since December 8th, 2012. But the Lord's preparing us for a massive outpouring of His Spirit. And one of the things that He has highlighted is that it is going to be an outpouring of His grace. Now, when I say grace, I want to make it really clear before anyone makes any assumptions. I'm not talking about what some people do with grace and say, oh, well, I'm covered under grace. I can just sin. I can do whatever I want. Because really, when you have really, really encountered true grace, you actually cannot sin. Because the grace of God is actually that which not only offers you favor and complete acceptance that is undeserved and unmerited favor, but it also is God's divine influence upon your heart that enables you, that empowers you to fulfill the word of God and the will of God in your life. And when you're under grace, there's no effort. You know, you just do it. So when people say to me, yeah, I like sinning and I still sin, but I'm under grace, I thought, you haven't tasted grace yet, because when the power of grace is on you, you'll become like Jesus. You'll just be led right into His nature, right into His character. And so I want to preempt today's message with that. But the Lord showed me that this revival that is coming, and revival again is not the right word for it, but that's what I'm using. But this outpouring that's coming is going to be a holiness type revival. But not like in the days past. It is going to be an outpouring of grace to such an extent that everyone will look upon Him and be under the influence to become like Him. And sinners overnight, in an instant of time, will be transformed by His glory and His grace. It's going to be amazing. Jesus said that He came with grace and truth. And so I just love this subject. But in a moment, I'm going to share with you about my heavenly encounter that I had on April 11th, 2013. But I want to read to you a scripture first. It's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And when I was in the glory realm this last week, the Lord had given me this scripture. And it's a rhema word. It is a word that you can receive into your heart. It's for this particular time in church history. I believe it's for every believer to soak in and delight in and taste of the goodness of it. The Apostle Paul writes that it's out of 2 Corinthians 12:9, and we know that the Apostle Paul was called the Apostle of Grace. And he said, this is what he said. It says, and he, Jesus himself, said to me, my grace, and remember that grace is God's loving kindness, His undeserved, unmerited favor towards you, His acceptance, and it is His influence upon your heart, turning you to Christ and fulfilling obedience to Him. It's the fullness of His benefits and His bounty. So He said to Paul, and He says to you, Jesus says directly to you, my grace, the substance of my grace is sufficient for you. And the word sufficient means more than enough. In other words, it is actually, His grace is actually all that you need to become like Him, to please Him, to fulfill your destiny call. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, and that word power there is dunamis. It means miracle working power, or the power to work miracles. It means excellence of soul. It is the influence of wealth. It means military might. And it says, for His power, that power that can make you excellent of soul and give proper alignment in your body, soul, and spirit, can work any miracle you need to bring heaven into your earthly realm. That power is perfected. It's made complete. It's brought into fullness in weakness. And that weakness means the frailty and poor capacity of your body and soul. So if you're feeling weak in issues, if you're feeling like things aren't perfect on the inside of you, it could be maybe even a body ailment or weakness that you're struggling with. It says that His grace is sufficient. His enabling power, His influence upon your life is sufficient for you, because His miracle working power, His transforming power, that which makes your soul excellent, that which heals the body, is made complete, brought into its fullness in the midst of your weakness. Because if there wasn't any weakness, there wouldn't be anything to manifest the glory of God on. So the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast, which means to glory on account of a thing. I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And that word dwelling in me, that word to dwell, it actually means that God comes upon you like a tent of His presence and comes and fills you. So the Apostle Paul wasn't saying, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses because I want to stay inside the weakness. No, he was saying, God has told me that this power of grace is sufficient for me to become complete in Him, to manifest His presence in every way. So I'm going to boast in my weaknesses, because His power, His miracle working power, and that which makes my soul excellent, that dunamis power of God is made perfect in the midst of my weakness. It has an opportunity to manifest fully in my weakness. So that's why we can boast about our weakness, not that we want to stay in it. We boast before God saying, God, I'm weak. I can't do this myself. All my striving and everything, I can't do it myself. I'm flawed within, but I want to be like You. And He says, okay, I've got a grace package for you, because my grace is sufficient for that weakness that you're acknowledging. And when you humble yourself before God like that and then exalt Him and His grace and His greatness, and He'll come and dwell upon you with His dunamis power like a tent and enable you to come into freedom from the very weakness that you are struggling with. Woo! And it's all to His glory. It's Him doing it. It's not you striving for it. Does that make sense? Now, with that in mind, I want to share with you, I'm actually going to read to you right out of my journal. So in a way, I'm taking a risk, because this is very personal. It was when I was up in the glory realm, I was having an encounter with Jesus, and I was scribing the encounter as it was happening, so I wouldn't forget even one detail of it. So it's personal, but I believe it's for you. I believe that there's keys in here for all of us. Now, I might preempt it with saying I'd been in the heavens for a day or two prior to this one, with Jesus showing me about the preparation of the bride of Christ. And anyone who longs, who has that inner longing in them to be the bride, the Holy Spirit will prepare you by grace to have the desire of your heart fulfilled. And I think all of us, no matter how much you know the love of God, like I understand the love of God, I know it in my head, I believe the love of God. He loves us with an everlasting love. He really does. But how many of us, including myself, at times we struggle to receive the fullness. Like, how could He love me so much, because I'm so unworthy, I'm so imperfect, I'm so weak, right? So this, with that as a backdrop, I'm going to share with you a part of my journal. I'm going to read it directly out of it. I had been led by some angels down a corridor that was filled with light to meet Jesus. And they were whispering to one another, she's here, here she comes, here she comes. That's how important you are to Jesus, that Jesus is waiting for you and all the angels are waiting. Here she comes, tell him, tell the master she's coming. Okay, so an angel had come out and led me in. Jesus had walked out of his office to meet me when the angel had directed me in. It says, Jesus walked me into His office from the corridor. His office was full of radiant light and glory. There was a sofa that He led me to. We sat down. An angel who seemed to be His assistant brought Him a gift box and then went back and stood by the door. He put it in my hands and He said, open. I opened it, still feeling rather unworthy and a bit awkward. Within was a beautiful garment. It was a milky cream color, a beautiful fabric, like quality, delicate linen. When I say linen, I'm meaning like It was so like thin and delicate. It was almost like silk, but I knew in my spirit that it was linen. It says in the Bible that the bride is clothed in linen, and linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And in Ezekiel, it says when the priesthood went into the holy place, they couldn't go in with wool garments or anything that would make them sweat. They had to take those off and put linen garments on, because linen doesn't make you sweat. And what that's indicative of is it's not our righteousness, but His. It's not our striving, but what He accomplished. So I saw this delicate linen, and it had fine pearls and rich lace, almost ancient looking the garment was, yet new, brand new. When I touched it, I could feel its weight. And I was reminded that the word glory actually means weight sometimes. And it was like, that was the feeling when I was holding it. It was like I was holding the weight of glory. I could feel it saturated with love, light, and life from Jesus. It seemed to contain delicate threads also from past moves of the Spirit, from mankind's history. Each thread was so fine and delicate. Threads were filled with vibrating life and light. They seemed like they might contain touches of silver, gold, reflecting light, threads that glistened in the glory of His presence. I hope you can just get a little glimpse of what this garment, this beautiful garment, looked like within the gift box. The pearls were so lovely. I realized that each pearl represented the glorious work of the bridegroom as He wrapped rough irritants of the flesh of man with His grace and glory and created a jewel of great worth, beauty, and glory. And you know, in the natural, that's how pearls are formed within the oyster, is that this irritant, like it might be a piece of sand or something, it starts irritating the oyster. So it wraps pearl around it until it becomes soft and beautiful. And those are very, very precious gems, pearls are. So He wraps rough irritants of the flesh of men with His grace and glory and creates a jewel of great worth, beauty, and glory. There were hundreds of those little pearls sewn into the garment. I was examining individual pearls, feeling a sense of awe at their beauty. I realized that the beauty was not as a result of the individuals they represented, but the work of grace the Master had achieved in each life. He took something so worthless and condemned and created an object of great value and stunning glory. Each pearl so unique, not one the same, each telling its own story. I touched individual pearls, looking at them closely as I realized the great significance of each one of them to Jesus. He could see my adoration, and He smiled. He said, "With great care, precision, and love, I sewed each of them into your garment myself. I specifically and carefully chose the exact ones I wanted for your garment," He explained with a sense of delight. He touched one little pearl that was by the neckline. "This one represents Amy Semple McPherson," He said. "You know her as a great revivalist, but what made her great was my grace. Oh, she was flawed in so many ways, yet she loved me and believed in my goodness, love, and mercy. Every time she leaned to me and trusted in my strength instead of her own abilities and accomplishments, I wrapped another layer of grace around her. Her life is now a beautiful pearl set into the archives of man's history that will testify of my goodness in the realm of time and for all eternity in heaven. Isn't this pearl beautiful?" He then pointed to others. "This one represents Mariah Woodworth Etter, and this one Catherine Kuhlman, and this one over here represents John G. Lake." He continued to point out pearls representing great revivalists such as Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, Evan Roberts, Jonathan Edwards, William and Catherine Booth, Martin Luther, the Apostle Paul, and many more. He said, "These ones all became great because of my grace. They all recognize their own frailty, their own weaknesses, and that is what led them to grace." He looked at me with such excitement in his eyes. I prepared this garment for you especially. It is yours because I love you, and I want you to be arrayed with the very things that I delight in. Each one of these represents my great grace and perfect love. That is what made each of these ones great in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. Do you want to see my most favorite pearl on the garment? I responded, of course I do. He pointed to one in the very front and center of the dress. It seemed slightly larger than the other pearls when I looked closer, and it had a unique coloring to it. It actually reflected different soft tones depending on what angle Jesus was looking on it at. The light of his countenance highlighted various colors and aspects. He truly was stunning. It truly was stunning, and yet it was not demanding my attention. It was set perfectly into its place along with the others. Jesus said with delight in his voice, "Yes, this is my most favorite one on the garment." "Who is it?" I asked. With boastful pleasure in his voice, he said, "This is Amara Grace Joseph." He literally lit up when he mentioned her name. I'd never heard of her and was somewhat embarrassed, as I thought perhaps I should. He knew my wrestling and went on to introduce me to this amazing saint. Amara is not known to man, but she is really known in heaven. As a young girl, her parents and siblings were killed in a revolution. She was the only survivor in her entire household. She was injured for life, though, due to a bullet in her leg that eventually caused the loss of the leg. A missionary found her, left for dead, after the rebels came into her village and not only killed most in the village, but they burned everything down, too. There was not a house left standing. Jesus said, "Little Amara grew up in an orphanage and was led to me by the missionaries. Although she had suffered so much tragedy, she was always happy and always laid her life down to serve others. She had rough areas like everyone else, but she trusted my love for her. She walked close to me, believing my love, trusting in my grace to perfect things in her. She maintained childlike faith her entire life, and great miracles took place through her hands, although very few in the earth know of them. She gave us great delight in heaven as we looked on. Every day she drew strength from my spirit." Listen to this. "I knew her well because she constantly visited me." She gave her life to helping abandoned children, orphans. Each day she served with love, rescuing as many as she could. She asked nothing for herself. She was not interested in fame, and yet she will be known by all in the kingdom for all eternity. Her love for me will never go unnoticed. She is one of my most special laid-down lovers. She had so little in the eyes of man, and yet she gave everything she had. Amara is a great pearl, so precious to me, and I sewed the pearl of her remembrance into your garment. Jesus lit up as he spoke about Amara. She truly had a special place in his heart. Her humble, childlike, yielded heart was a great gift to him. She seemed to bring more delight to him than all the other pearls on the garment. He knew what I was thinking and whispered, "They are all special, all of them. And I want their stories represented in the garment that I created for you." I was humbled beyond words. What a privilege to have her pearl sewn into my garment as well as the other revivalists. I felt so unworthy again, and Jesus knew how I was feeling. He said, "All mankind is unworthy. Do you not understand that yet? It is the celebration of my grace in the midst of your weakness that causes my power to create in you my purpose for you. I am preparing you to be my bride, but it is not because you are worthy. It is because I love you. It is because you celebrate my grace, the gift of my life freely given for you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love all mankind. That is why I hung on the tree. That is why I paid the price for man's sins. I love mankind more than you could ever know. I wait daily for those who will respond to the gift. Accept my gift of grace. Accept even greater grace, for this amazing grace will transform you. I will accomplish in and through you the desires of your heart. And my beautiful one, and he would say that to each one of you, I know what your desire is. I want to assure you, I will give you the desires of your heart. My grace will perfect in you all that is needed for the fulfillment of your deepest longing. My deepest longing is to be the wife of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ who makes herself ready with grace. I grasped the dress in my hands. It was so beautiful. There were no words to describe it. I loved the feel of it. It was a costly garment, so holy, so special. Jesus made it himself, sewing each little pearl into its place, weaving each glistening thread into the garment. Jesus looked at me and said, "It is yours, my beloved. It is yours." I was overwhelmed. It's the heart of Jesus for you. That's what that encounter was all about. You might feel very flawed. You might feel like you're missing the mark. Maybe you feel far away from God, not worthy enough. He understands that, and he made provision for it, because it's not about your worthiness. It's about his love and his grace for you. And he's taking you as a flawed little vessel and completed you, made you perfect in him, because he put into the flaw the perfection of his righteousness and wrapped around you grace upon grace upon grace upon grace to make you a beautiful pearl, a beautiful pearl. And you are being prepared by God to be a pearl on others' garments. One day he'll say to someone, "I want to show you this pearl. This is who it is. This is her name. This is his name. And this is why this one is so special, because they accepted my grace. They accepted my love." Little Amara, what made it so special for Jesus about her life was that she constantly visited him. You see, in her frailty, understanding her weakness, she knew that he was her strength, and without him, she had nothing. So she'd visit him constantly. Catherine Kuhlman spoke of doing the same thing. She said, "Oh, I am nothing without him. Oh, do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And she was known by God. All of us have the invitation to go. Jesus said, "Many, many in that day will come and say, 'Did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we work many miracles? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that?'" And he says, "I never knew you. Even though I gave you the gift of life, I don't really know you, because you never came to spend time with me." But little Amara was so special to him because she came. As simple as that. Every time you come to the Lord, maybe you get up in the middle of the night to pray, and maybe you think your times with God are going unnoticed, but he notices. He sees you. He wants you. He longs for you. He's flipped out in love with you. And his grace is sufficient for you, because his power, that which creates excellence of soul for you, is made perfect in your frailty, in your weakness, in your flaws. So boast about your weakness, not because you want to stay weak, but because you want replacement therapy that his nature overcomes and infuses that place of weakness within you, and have your name known in heaven. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And he wants you under grace to make choices for him because you love him. Lord, give each of my friends here more grace. I want to feature something for you today that you might be interested in that would help you have something special for your encounters in grace. And it's a journal that we have called Sacred Time, Sacred Place. And I created it especially after I visited with Oral Roberts just before he went on to glory. And he used to spend uninterrupted time with the Lord every single day. He said everything that he did in his ministry, the mandates he received, were received in that place. And he said it was so easy to implement them because grace came from that place out into the actual action of the implementation. And in that journal, I share that story about Oral Roberts, but also I share how to have an effective devotional time, some of the things that will help you. And there's beautiful pages to journal special. It's very special paper, and it's got antique edges on it and everything. It's just beautiful. But it might be special for you to get that as you start encountering God. And the other thing is our Glory School. If you have not had the Glory School teaching yet, I encourage you to download it or order the hard copy of the Glory School, because it will teach you how to ascend into those places in heaven. Every believer can ascend into the heavenly place, and I'd really like you to have the pleasure of doing that. I love you so much, and I hope this devotion today really, really served you well, because God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does, and so do I and all of us at XP Ministries.